You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Rock Against the TPP, Saturday, August 20th at Director Park in Portland. Rock Against the TPP is an effort to educate and fight against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, an anti-democratic deal between 12 countries that was negotiated in complete secrecy by government officials and hundreds of corporate lobbyists. Rock Against the TPP features Downtown Boys, Evangeline Lilly, Danbert Nobacon from Chumbawamba, Makana, Son of Nun, and many more. Again, that's Rock Against the TPP, Saturday, August 20th at Director Park, 815 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. The concert is all ages and wheelchair accessible, but RSVP is required. More information about how to RSVP, the other performers, and the TPP can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, August 15th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on the air and KBOO.fm on the web. This is Air Cascadia, and today we're going to be talking a little bit after we blast through some weather. It's probably overcast until around midday, and then sun breaking through, and we could eventually see highs around 85. The pattern repeats almost word for word, and cloud for cloud, drop for drop, beam by beam tomorrow night's lows dropping down into 50s. And that's it for the weather today. We always do have to touch base with the earth because our noses in the screen all of the time is it looks like community building, and it vaguely sounds like community building. But the only kind of only way you ever actually build a community is face to face, and your words, word to word, heart to heart. So, on that note, we're going to return to the Sacred Stone Camp in the Dakotas, because I noticed that we had Billy Wilson on a couple of times last week, and Dallas Goldsmith also was with us, and we were talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline, a story which has talk about flying below the radar. News of the pipeline has literally had to tunnel its way. It had to frack its way to people's attention because it's been suppressed. And I never use the word suppressed casually. If I say that word, I indeed mean exactly that. It has been deliberately, systematically suppressed by mainstream media. But between last Friday and then last Sunday night, this story has actually blown up on the alternate media lines, and now we find stories on all over the place, is the best way to put it. And we continue to cover it. We want to talk to we're going to talk to Dallas in just a few moments. Stephen Zudis, commend your attention to a couple of articles he has out recently. He's gotten a very accurate analysis of the Turkish coup attempt and who the main players were there. In addition to that, parallel universe, we've got some hawkish foreign policy planks in the Democratic platform that have yet to be explained. We've got Reporters Committee to track is tracking interference with news media on the presidential campaign trail. Lots of games being played. Suddenly, the media is important again, but for not the usual reasons. That is evident, especially in this campaign season, the way that reports are coming in from both the Clinton and the Trump teams. And I don't know, maybe it's a lighter note, but on a campaign note, though, Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is back in the news again, and as always, for all the wrong reasons. So we've got Dallas on the line right now, and we want to go straight to the Sacred Stone camp and speak with Dallas Goldtooth. Good morning, Dallas, and many thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Well, this is suddenly becoming, at least, certainly on progressive news programming, all of a sudden, across the bridge of the weekend, now is being covered by a number of sources, which is very, very good to hear. On the other hand, the company putting the pipeline through is still intent on doing that without permitting it, without any kind, I don't believe. Tell us what normally would be done, even if this were not a terrible idea, and yeah, it should be left to the ground. And anyway, that's first and foremost. But supposing they had actually gone about it, well, let's say it legally, but if they actually taken all the necessary steps, what if they ignored entirely in the process?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you giving me a chance on the call here. We're talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline, and it's a proposed 1,200-mile pipeline that would transport oil, over 400,000 barrels of oil a day from the Bakken oil fields of North Dakota down to southern Illinois, to a place called Patoka, to the refineries there. And now this proposed pipeline they wanted to cross the Missouri River in two places. The second location is just at the on the northern border of the Standing Rock Indian Reservation in North Dakota and South Dakota. Now, what's supposed to have happened is that the Corps of Engineers, who has jurisdiction over the river crossing, along with the company itself, are supposed to consult with the tribes all along the river to consult with them on this pipeline, to get their input, to see what possible cultural sites might be impacted, what possible burial sites might be impacted. And they were supposed to have that consultation process well ahead of the time before construction began. That has not happened. And that's the main issue. That's one of the main legal issue here, is that the consultation process was overlooked, it was totally disregarded, and now tribes are standing up and enforcing their rights, saying, hey, like, you didn't meet federal policy, you didn't meet federal law, and now you have to pay for this. But so the tribe, so Standing Rock Sioux Tribe has filed an injunction in court to stop construction, but that the court will not hear that argument until August 24th, about 2 weeks from now. And so in the meantime, the company is moving ahead. They're trying to put the pipeline in the ground. They're trying to put as much pipe into the ground before that court hearing. So by the time the judge hears the case, they say, well, hey, look, the pipe's already in the ground. You know, what can we do? So a lot of the grassroots fight, the people on the ground on the front lines are doing their very best to delay this pipeline before until that hearing comes up on August 24th. So that's kind of what's going on. The lay of the land right now is the pipeline's not on tribal land. It's not on the reservation. It's just immediately adjacent to it on the northern edge. But it is going to affect all the communities downstream. There's a community literally 1.5 miles from that pipeline crossing. So in the event of a spill, they're the first ones to get hit. Not only that, but just 3 miles south of the pipeline crossing is the water intake for the entire tribe. So that puts over 30,000 people's drinking water at risk.
So not to mention, of course, culture, heritage, and traditional hunting, fishing, those rights that supposedly, I believe, if I understand correctly, governed by treaties. So how are treaties being enforced?
Well, it's all a matter of in the federal lawsuit that the tribe is trying to push is that this does go against their treaty rights. It does, break it does go against the Clean Water Act. It goes against the National Environmental Protection Act. Tribes are very, what most folks don't get is that tribes are very reluctant to bring a case into federal court using treaty as the basis, because you never know what's going to happen in federal court. You never know whether the judge is going to be for treaty rights or against it. And if they make a decision against it, that decision not only affects that tribe's treaty rights, but affects all treaty rights across the entire country. And so the tribes are being very careful about what they're actually putting in front of the judge, and what they've been putting in front of what they filed in court is really focusing on environmental protection as well as Clean Water Act.
So right now at Sacred Stone Camp, last week Billy Wilson showed me some video that was shot there of the police lorries blasting down the road and stunningly beautiful open skies, and the landscape itself there is just you look at it and it opens up everything in front of you, even on a little video screen. But in any case, the police roaring along through this, and activists being frontline activists being arrested. What's going on right now? Is the camp holding up in the face of this massive power?
The camp is doing amazing. There's a huge swell of participants that have been showing up. You know, put it this way, about 2 weeks ago, there was about 20 people at the Sacred Stone Camp. These are hardcore frontline pipeline fighters who have been there since the very beginning, since April. And there's been about 20 to 30 people. Well, last count that they had this morning is there's over 600 people that have shown up in support, have traveled across the country. There's people from Seattle, from California, from Texas that are there, traveling to stand in solidarity. So with that, there's a lot of issues and a lot of concerns about how to, keep things together. But overall, the energy is positive. People are really excited. And it's going in a good direction.
So where's sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. I want to have you back again soon. We have to go. Yeah. So can you let listeners know what the website is, where support solidarity can be expressed?
Folks can check out sacredstonecamp.org. That's sacredstonecamp.org. You also can check out Sacred Stone Camp on Facebook and follow along there. They also have a fundraiser. Go to the webpage, sacredstonecamp.org, and you can see if you can donate items. That's where you can do it. You can also donate to the Legal Defense Fund.
So thank you so much. Dallas Goldsmith has been with us today, and we're going to check back later on, Tribal Leader, the Environmental Front, and just an all-round strong and very a strong person, a good person who lives the no retreat, no surrender. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, August 15, 2016. Natasha and Jennifer, today. Thanks, Natasha. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts.